We haven't recorded in forever.
It's been a while, yeah.
Are we going?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What's this one? Oh, office. Balco. Boom. Got it. I'm on top of things. What's up? This is Movies on Up. There's no such thing as an overnight success. Brantley Foster took 2 weeks. I'm Dave, joined by the secret to my success of this podcast, Mr. Ryan Eby.
Not a secret anymore.
We are Movies on Up. I'm Dave, he's Ryan. The tagline for this week, there's no such thing as an overnight success. Brantley Foster took 2 weeks. If you know what movie Brantley Foster is in, let's not keep it a secret, and you could be successful in winning a glorious Movies on Us on prize package. What's the name of the show? Movies on Up?
I think so. It still is.
moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter @moviesonup. If you select the right movie and we pick you, you win the glorious Movies on Up prize package. This week feels like a lot of work. Feels like a 9-to-5. Yeah. The Belko experiment opens this week. James Gunn's awesome office-based kill as many people as possible movie. So we thought, hey, favorite work place movies or movies that take place in an office.
There's not a whole lot of like kill a bunch of people in your office movies.
Yeah, not a bunch. There's a lot of I'd like to kill myself in my office movies. But I don't know how strict you were on the office setting.
Pretty strict. I don't see you wanting to argue with me on many of these. A couple of them specifically are very, very much office movies. One of them's kind of a large company that is in a building. Not necessarily like one particular floor. It's the entire building is the office.
Yeah, like Secret of My Success with Michael J. Fox.
Something like that, yes. It's not that.
It's not. That's one of my also-rans. Mine, I tried to keep it office-related, or the main events were office-related, and people, even when we see them outside of the office, I wanted it, as long as it was driven by work. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't just
right.
A movie that we happen to see these characters in the office at times. Like, I wanted the office to be the plot point, basically about work.
Yeah, I would say that all my movies satisfy that.
Yeah, so let's get to work on that. Your number 5 favorite office workplace movie.
My number 5 is not a great movie, which is why it's only number 5 on my list. But I wanted to put it here because I feel like we had mentioned there's not a lot of kill a bunch of people in your office movies, which is kind of where the Belko experiment is the best in that genre. If you wanted to maybe open that genre up a little bit and still have somewhat of a horror comedy, you get that in 2015's Bloodsucking Bastards, directed by Brian James O'Connell, starring Fran Kranz, Pedro Pascal, and Joey Kern. I think if James Gunn would have done this movie, Bloodsucking Bastards, it would have come out much, much better. It probably would have been much higher on my list. But I think the premise of the movie, is decent enough. You have a group of slackers who find themselves literally having the life sucked out of them by their vampire bosses. Kind of like Office Space, but with vampires, you get the drift. Nothing spectacular. Frank Kranz, I think, is pretty solid.
That's kind of what he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just shows up and is surprisingly, I don't know why,
adept.
Surprisingly anymore,
right.
But he's solid in everything he is, but you look at him and you don't expect it, I guess.
No, and he's a guy that, like, if you're not paying attention, like, oh, shit, that was Frank Kranz, just because he's not remarkable in any particular way, but I think that works well specifically for the character of, like, lead office guy, because you could believe him as a guy you work with. There's a couple decent laughs in the movie. The janitor character, Frank, has a couple badass moments at the end. The movie's not going to change your life, but if you have a couple friends, you have a couple beverages, it's a decent enough movie to just waste a couple hours on, especially if you work in an office. I think that you'll see enough office type shenanigans, guys screwing around, friends outside of work, figuring out how to play video games on the job and get paid for it. Shenanigans like that, you know, you might appreciate. And then there's the whole vampire aspect as well. And when it does turn into a vampire movie, they certainly don't pull any punches as far as that goes.
I forgot about this movie.
And it's forgettable.
Yeah, it didn't even come on my radar. As you started talking about it, I thought about a different movie that's just randomly on Netflix that I randomly watched and was much more competent, but I'll mention that later as an also-ran. my number five, not vampires, but if you'd ask me if I'd rather hang out with vampires or with Aaron Eckhart and Matt Malloy's characters from 1997's In the Company of Men, I'm going to go with vampires. This is Neil LaBute's movie. Very controversial at the time. Very relevant still, because men are still assholes. Men are still jerks. And this is basically just a movie that is about these two guys. You know, Matt Malloy is brokenhearted. Aaron Eckhart is just a dick. And it's a lot of office related, but they're on a work trip. And it is very work related. They go for the deaf girl at work, and both decide to date her just to destroy her. And it's a tough one. I wouldn't even say I enjoy it, because it is, it's a rough watch. Like, it's a rough, not a lot of laughs. It's a brutal movie. It's dark. It's depressing. It walks a fine line, because it, these guys are despicable, but at no time does it glorify them. You pretty much know from the beginning, like, yeah, these guys are assholes. Like, we're not trying to glorify what they're doing. They didn't take it and turn it into a comedy. They made it feel like real life. It's a well-made, well-acted movie. As a movie, it's very competent, very well-made. It's just, it's not something. I watched it when it first came out on VHS back in the late 90s, and I watched it once, and it sat with me. Like, I still remember the gut-wrenching ending. Like, I remember everything. It's tough. Like, it's a tough movie. And that's as a white guy. So, I mean, as, you know, it was hard for me to watch. So, like, as for
a being one of the assholes.
Yeah. So, like, for women or anything, I don't even know. I would not suggest the movie, because it is, it does focus on an aspect that is the worst of mankind, essentially. But like I said, it doesn't glorify it. If it glorified it, it wouldn't be on this list, but it does kind of show a good angle of the consequences and how something that can seem like fun to Aaron Eckhart can just destroy lives, like not just hurt feelings.
He is a son of a bitch, that guy. My number four, I would also say, is a well-made, well-acted movie directed by Jason Reitman. It is 2009's Up in the Air, starring George Clooney, Vera Farmiga, and Anna Kendrick, or Anna Kendrick and a couple other people.
Oscar nominated.
Absolutely, Oscar nominated for this role. You could make the argument that this movie might not really belong on this list because it doesn't take place in a particular office. As much as Clooney flies from city to city, office to office, hired by bosses that don't exactly have the sack to sack their own employees. So in doing so, he spends most of his time in hotel rooms and airports, which is really where the character is most comfortable. And I would argue that these are actually Clooney's offices, not necessarily the actual brick and mortar offices that he's going to, but his office are the airports and the airport bars that he frequents so often. The hotel rooms that he spends his time in are much better laid out than his own studio apartment that he has, and the VIP lounges that he seems to have access to, again, are more of a home for him than his actual home. You introduce young, plucky, and Oscar Award nominated Anna Kendrick into the formula. She's kind of determined to make these trips that Clooney takes a thing of the past, where she's going to update his job into just firing people over the internet, kind of phasing out his way of life. So essentially the guy that flies from city to city firing people is kind of being fired himself. Clooney and Farmiga, I think, have really, really great chemistry. And there's a couple scenes towards the second act of the movie with Kendrick in there too, that I think that her dynamic works well as like a third wheel with the scenes with Clooney and Farmiga. To me, it didn't seem much of a stretch at all for Clooney to be in that movie. He seems like the kind of guy that, I guess if you were going to have to get fired, Clooney would be a guy that you could see, all right, well, that wasn't so bad. At least it was Clooney. But what I do appreciate kind of about the movie is sort of the journey that he goes on in the midst of trying to accumulate these millions and millions of miles that he's trying to get. You see the character go from giving these speeches at the beginning, like, what's in your backpack? This is the motivational speech that he gives at the beginning and throughout most of the movie. to kind of not believing his own horse shit, and realizing that, you know, as much as he's been lying to all these people that he's giving speeches to, he's been lying to himself about the freedom of this lifestyle that he treasures so much. So it's not really until he's faced with possibly losing that he kind of somewhat predictably comes to that realization. But I think it's a fine, fine movie. It was a little bit of a surprise for me from Reitman, because it's not like a offbeat, quirky comedy. It has its laughs.
It's a great character movie.
It is.
Which I think is...
with not a ton of individual characters, but the ones that are in there are great and very well fleshed out.
Yeah, I left this off because I figured you would have it on there. It was on my radar. It'd probably be higher, just because it is a very good movie. And yeah, it's not all in the office, but if you take away his job, you don't have a movie. So that was kind of my criteria. It's really good, and it's a shame that Reitman hasn't been able to capture this since, because it is really good. You take three really good actors, and then even the small bits were all really well done. Nominated for 6 Oscars and didn't win a single one of them. Farmiga and Kendrick were both best supporting, and this is the one that I think of Clooney. If you ask me 10 years from now, when I've not, oh, George Clooney's won an Oscar for Best Actor, what movie is it? Like, this is the one that I'm instantly going to think, oh, he clearly won for this, right? Like, this is his Oscar movie. But yeah, he didn't win.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, 7 years ago. I really do like this movie. My number 4, almost as charming and as charismatic as George Clooney. Mine throws Topher Grace into the lead.
Almost.
From Paul Weitz's In Good Company from 2004 with Topher, Dennis Quaid, Scarlett Johansson. It's another one that it does take place a lot outside of the office, but it's basically how the office is affecting Dennis Quaid's life. He's in this job that he's been in forever, and now all of a sudden somebody half his age is now his boss in a job that probably should have went to him. And then, you know, as you're adapting to working for somebody that's half your age, now that guy is dating your daughter. There's a lot more to it than the workplace aspect of the movie, but that drives everything, because again, you take away Quaid's job, he doesn't have any of this plot going on.
It's just your daughter is dating someone and how do you get along with them?
Yeah, Dennis Quaid's good. I like Topher Grace as a movie star. I really have always liked him in movies. Like, maybe he's better in Thank You for Smoking or Mr. and Mrs. Smith, where he just has these real bit parts and just delivers, because of the ones he's been like the lead in, I take this one over the 80s one. I forget Take Me Home Tonight or whatever.
Tad Hamilton?
Yeah, maybe. I guess he was good in that. That was kind of a perfect storm for him.
That was the perfect amount of Topher.
Yeah, I like Topher Grace, and Dennis Quaid is really good. Like, the two of them play together. This is your pre-kick-ass action star Scarlett Johansson, when she wasn't the big figure that she is now.
She was still the other Boleyn girl, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, she was, you know, she wasn't this larger than life. She was just Dennis Quaid's daughter, and believable. And it's a competent movie. Like, I compare this, for some reason, this and Topher Grace and Adam Brody. Everything nice I say about Topher Grace, I could say the exact same for Adam Brody. It, like, they're interchangeable to me. And there's another In the Company of Women or something like that. It's a Adam Brody movie with Meg Ryan and Kristen Stewart and stuff. I compare those two movies all the time, because they're kind of the, hey, Topher, go be Topher. Here you are. And that one's In the Land of Women. That's what it is. In the Land of Women is that Adam Brody one. But I mean, basically I just want a
Topher
buddy
Grace
movie.
And
yeah. I want
Brody.
A buddy movie. Two dudes that came from TV. I've never watched an episode of their shows, 'cause they just didn't look good to me. But I do love those two dudes, and I don't care that I snuck Adam Brody into here.
My number 3 is one of the older movies on my list, and it's one that I don't think about a lot, despite the fact that I don't think it's a secret on this show how much I enjoy Joel and Ethan Coen. But when I started thinking about office movies, and specifically movies that we don't talk an awful lot about, I thought about The Hudsucker Proxy from 1994, starring Tim Robbins, Paul Newman, and Jennifer Jason Leigh. The Hudsucker Industries is kind of the office setting for this, what I consider really early but great Coen movie. Robbins plays this former mailroom clerk turned company president. Paul Newman kind of thinks Tim Robbins' character is kind of a buffoon. He puts him in charge of the company in order to kind of drive it into the crapper so he can take it over. Kind of like the strategy behind that classic business film, Major League. Drive the Indians into the crapper so nobody goes and you can move the team to Miami. A similar strategy here for corporate
like the
takeover.
The
actual strategy. Yeah. As it turns out, though, Tim Robbins' character is kind of comes completely into the fold with this invention that is going to kind of revolutionize the Hudsucker brand with this cryptic diagram of a piece of equipment that is, you know, for kids. He basically invents the hula hoop. And everything from there on out, like once he becomes sort of the one thing that Paul Newman never imagined he would actually become. From there on out, the movie takes a little bit of a left turn. You know, it starts as this sort of like darkly funny, I guess, certainly odd and very, I guess, very Coen-y kind of movie. And then it goes more whimsical towards the third act. Really kind of a departure from what they usually do. I mean, you've got elements of like time travel, actual magical elements that come into the Hudsucker proxy and make it, it almost does feel like two separate movies. But I think that they work kind of well together. You know, if you don't know the turn that the movie's going to take, it's really going to catch you off guard. But if you can suspend your disbelief long enough, it ends up being kind of a fun ride. It's early for the Coens, really before they kind of found their audience.
It's a Coen movie before like a Coen movie was a thing.
Yeah.
This hit my radar, but another one I assumed you would have because you're more of a Coen fan than I am. And if you didn't, I didn't care because I could go through without mentioning it. It is a fun trip. It's good Robbins. Like it's
yeah.
good.
He's phenomenal.
Paul Newman's
good too.
You see Tim Robbins now, and I don't think people remember like how good he was, really. Like he's got some really good performances, and I think Hudsucker is one of the it's peak Robbins, I think, because it shows off pretty much everything he can do very well. My number three, it is the oldest movie on my list, from 1988. Directed by Mike Nichols, starring Harrison Ford, Sigourney Weaver, Melanie Griffith, Alec Baldwin, Joan Cusack, Nora Dunn, Oliver Platt, Kevin Spacey. It is Working Girl. I don't know why. I remember seeing this movie in the theaters. It's Melanie Griffith as a secretary and who somehow ends up tricking people into thinking she's her boss and tries to run the company and work her way up. At the same time, it's 80s comedy Harrison Ford, where it's not the iconic Harrison Ford, but I don't think he gets a lot of credit for these kind of roles to where he's just basically the male in a romantic comedy. He didn't do it a lot, but when he does, it's pretty competent. And for some reason, I saw this twice in the movie theaters when I was 9, and I just, anytime you mention Working Girl, or even Melanie Griffith, for that matter, I think of Working Girl, and I think of a part in the limousine where they turn on the TV, and it's just porn, and it's just a guy eating a girl out as they're floating along the pool. I don't know why that sticks out to me, but that's all I can think of when I think about this movie. But definitely a workplace comedy. Melanie Griffith had a career. I mean, she's one of those that you'd think now, like, oh yeah, I forgot she was kind of a leading lady. Like, she was.
Because it was 30 years ago.
Yeah. Sigourney Weaver and Harrison Ford are still kind of big deals.
Oh,
so
yeah, that's true.
I think back to the 80s, and like, she was a big deal. Like, Melanie Griffith was a big thing. I like this movie. I don't have a ton of memories other than the guy eating the girl out in the pool.
Of course. I mean, but seeing that in
9-year-old me.
Exactly.
Because I didn't know what it was at the time. And that image stuck in my head.
What are they doing?
And as I got older, then it dawned on me. It's like, that's what he's doing in Working Girl.
I'm floating in a pool with this girl. Now I understand it. My number two is actually the oldest movie on my list. It's just 2 years older than my number three, but it shouldn't come as any actually my number one and two shouldn't come as any surprise at all. My number two is from 1992, James Foley's Glengarry Glen Ross, starring Al Pacino, Jack Lemmon, Alan Arkin, and Ed Harris. In my opinion, just about every profession has its own go-to movie. if you've ever even moonlighted in sales, I believe that Glengarry Glen Ross is probably required viewing. If not the whole movie, at least the Alec Baldwin scene. Yeah, at the top. He gives one of the more inspirational speeches. Inspirational in air quotes. He gives to this aging and mostly complacent real estate sales team. If you are a salesman and you've seen this movie, and if you're a good salesman, and by good salesman, I mean, you know, the guy that is happy to tell people that you're a salesman, I would guess you're probably the kind of guy that would have the ABC always be closing line tattooed somewhere across your midsection. It's based off a David Mamet play, and nearly the entire climax of the movie is contained in this sales office. And it does very much seem like it is a play. They don't hop from location to location a lot. The beginning of the movie, sales office. There's a scene with Pacino in a bar across the street. There's basically one scene, I believe, where Jack Lemmon goes out on a sit with these folks. But pretty much everything else is confined to that office there. And you have a lot of big personas that are stuck in this relatively small room, even after you get rid of Baldwin. And you're left with Pacino and Jack Lemmon, Arkin and Ed Harris. Kevin Spacey is their boss. He's there too. By the time the tension in the movie starts to mount as to how this sales competition is going to shake out, second place is a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired, I think. So basically these guys in a four-man office are trying to just not get fired. And the only way they can do that is to seemingly get these good leads. And when it comes out that the leads have been stolen, everybody's kind of pointing the finger at the other person, and they're all stuck in there together. And you feel a little bit voyeuristic sitting in there with them. You're sweating with the rest of these guys, just trying to get this tension to release somehow. And you just kind of get this backseat view of the complete ruination of a seemingly decent individual just trying to make the best life he can, the best out of a really shitty job that he may not be suited for. But it's just fun watching these guys try and push this rock up a hill and seeing that they've all, with the exception of Pacino, they've all gotten to the point where I think they're tired of pushing that rock.
My number two transitions nicely from your number two.
This is your Glengarry Glen Ross.
Kind of. Yeah. If you took Glengarry Glen Ross and Wall Street and made somebody watch those two over and over again and said, hey, make this hip. You get Ben Younger's Boiler Room from 2000, which is a lot of the same things as Glengarry. They idolize this movie. There's a scene where they're watching the Alec Baldwin scene.
I mean, the Ben Affleck character is essentially Alec Baldwin.
And, you know, they idolize Alec Baldwin in that movie. They idolize Gordon Gekko from Wall Street. It's just Giovanni Ribisi gets set up in this office to where they're selling fake stocks, essentially. Yes, a lot of it takes place outside of the office, but a lot of it is in the office. And without Giovanni Ribisi taking this job, you don't have any of the events that happen. I talk about this movie any chance I get because I still feel like it's almost forgotten by time. Like, it's about 17 years old, but it's got Affleck, Ribisi.
Vin Diesel.
First thing I saw Vin Diesel in, Nia Long, Scott Kahn, Ron Rifkin, Jamie Kennedy, Tom Everett Scott. Like, it's got a, I almost said banger of a cast, and I don't even know what that means, but it's got a hell of a cast. And it's driven well by Younger because it is an office movie that is about essentially about selling stocks, but it feels like a thrill ride. It feels like a fast-paced, fast-driven. It feels like something Vin Diesel would be in now because it is paced where it's got the pace of an action movie, of a thriller, but it's really not. And Giovanni Ribisi is really, really good because this is pre-Giovanni Ribisi being what he is now. Like, he's believable as this guy, where now you think of him more as, like, the creepy, awkward guy. Like, he had a little bit of that. Giovanni Ribisi now is, if you hear of a show called Sneaky Pete, you think, oh, that sounds like something Giovanni Ribisi would star on. And it is. This is pre-thinking that about Giovanni Ribisi. It's well-acted. It's well-directed. I'm disappointed Younger hasn't really made a stamp, and I mean, it's been 17 years, so I don't know that he is now, but I love this movie, it hit me at a right time. I mean, I was day trading around the time that this movie came out, so I was into the stock market, and I think maybe that's why it hit me how it did. Plus, I was just, I'd have been 19 or 20 when this movie came out, so like that's about like, oh yeah, I can get a job at this hip brokerage firm. Like, I can do this. I really like it, and some of the office scenes are some of the best scenes. I mean, you go to Affleck's speech. Affleck has his always be closing moment in this movie. That speech is awesome. I mean, I made you do it for the our July 4th episode. Just the phone calls with the hectic atmosphere. It's a cool movie, and it's very, very office driven.
My number one is the one. It is the one that you think of, and I have justification for that. Not that I need to have justification to put Office Space on a list.
It's my
of
number one also.
Office
yeah.
based movies. Mike Judge, starring Ron Livingston, Jennifer Aniston, David Herman. Just a couple minutes ago, I said that every profession has a go-to movie. Certainly for anyone working in an office of any kind, Office Space is probably that movie. Occasionally, we try and leave off the obvious choices on any given list, and that generally gives us the opportunity to talk about one or two extra movies, which is great. But I got to thinking that we haven't really ever talked a ton about Office Space on this show. And if it's not number one on this list, when is it ever going to be number one?
And the thing is when I was putting together the calendar, I had Office Space penciled in, because for Belko Experiments, like, let's just do Office Space.
Right, yeah.
But we're doing a movie next week, and we don't like to do movies back to back. So I don't care that it's our co-number ones. I assumed it was going to be your number one. I still put it as my number one.
I am glad, because I think we look less like hipsters trying to outsmart the room. No, you just put the movie that is the best example of this genre at number one. I mean, you have all the archetypal characters from offices across the country represented in this movie. Underperforming boss, the guy that you're not fully sure isn't plotting to burn the place down while everyone's in there. For what this movie is, it's perfect. It's not to the level of something like Heat, which is a perfect movie.
For what it is, it's absolutely perfect.
Right. There's a reason that this was probably the first and maybe the only movie that came to mind when we mentioned the topic of this list. It's criminally underrated at the time. I think Office Space, maybe as well as any other movie I can think of, perfectly illustrates how a movie can gain its audience organically over time, even if it tanks when it comes out.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been 18 years. Mike Judge hasn't topped it. You know, like, he's done a lot of TV stuff and he's had attempts, but this was his home run. Like, he hit a home run in the first inning, and then that's it. But, I mean, he's done stuff since. I don't want to downplay his career, but it's hard to top this because it is.
Nobody has topped it.
No, and I mean, we always try to leave off obvious ones so that when it's like, oh, our favorite De Niro movies, like Taxi Driver, we don't want you to assume that it's going to be our number one. But this one, it's like, we both have it as number one. When you say, hey, what's your favorite office-based movie? I think this is obviously going to be, if you ask 10 people, at least 8 or 9 of them, this is going to be the first thing that comes to
their mind. It might be the only one they can think of.
Yeah, even if it's not their favorite after some thought, like, it's going to be the first one that comes to mind, because everything about it, Gary Cole's character with those TPS reports, we see have been missing a lot of work. Well, I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob. The whole Michael Bolton, like, it's been 18 years, and there's so many jokes that I, sure, my O-face, the jump to conclusions, Matt, like, the use of the rap music in it with the printer, like, there's so much. Orlando Jones, Diedrich Bader, watch out for your cornhole, man. Like, just everything about this movie, it's just solid jokes.
The Nazis made the Jews wear pieces of flair, too.
Like, it's jokes nonstop, and they're relatable jokes, and they're just, even if you've never worked in an office setting, most people that have a job have been in a situation where it's like, who is my boss? Like, I'm being told two different things by two people that are above me. Which one do I follow? And to think that this came from Milton, like, Milton was a character, and it's one of those things where it's like, can Milton carry a whole movie by himself?
Right.
So if you say, hey, well, I'm building, you know, a whole movie out of these Milton shorts, sounds like a terrible idea. But he went completely unexpected and just has Milton in the background. And if Ron Livingston doesn't take that stand, he could be Milton in 30 years. And Jennifer Aniston's really good in it. David Herman, like, everybody in this movie, is really, really good. Richard Reel, John McGinley is perfect for him, who he's in Belko Experiment. Mm-hmm. It's a great movie, and I don't think you...
I could envision...
If you met anybody that doesn't like this, maybe they don't love it, but if you ask 10 out of 10 people, you flip it through the channels and you see Office Space on, do you turn it on?
Who's going to say, I don't think it's funny?
Yeah, or I hate that movie. Yeah. Like, it's I'm sure there are those people that exist, but luckily I've never met any of them. But, like, it just, for a comedy, it's really, really good, because it's silly without going overboard. It walks that fine line. It's not Beavis and Butthead.
It's Beavis and Butthead everyone has experience with.
Yes, yeah. And I feel like this movie and Waiting would be compared, because I think if you've ever worked in the food...
In food service, yes.
I hate waiting. I've never worked in food service. I hate waiting. But I've also never worked in this kind of office atmosphere, but I love it. So I feel like Waiting is so targeted towards that audience, where Office Space, I feel like, is perfect for that audience, but still reaches out beyond that. And it's a great, great movie. Did you have also Rans?
I didn't have a lot. Boiler Room was one that I was sure was going to be. As I'm putting Glengarry Glen Ross, I know that is your, and it makes perfect sense, like that is your analog, and they do work very well together. Wolf of Wall Street, I think, is
phenomenal. I thought
that
would be on yours.
And that's like, if Boiler Room is your Glengarry Glen Ross, Wolf of Wall Street is like my Boiler Room.
Yeah.
I love that movie. That certainly could have made an appearance on the list. There's nothing that I would put above my number one or my number two, because I think that those are just for what they are. It's hard to get better than that. So I didn't really have many also-rans, because I didn't feel like I was really, outside of, you know, Bloodsucking Bastards, I didn't squeeze anything on the list. That's... And I only did that just because, okay, if you liked Belko and you want to see another movie kind of like it, maybe check this out.
That's kind of my, like, I had Up in the Air, which I left off because I thought you would. Hudsucker, I left off because I thought you might. Wall Street, which I love, which would probably be my number three, but I didn't want to do Boiler Room and Wall Street because I pretty much love the same thing about both of them. I do like Boiler Room more because it speaks more for me, although Wall Street is deeper. Like, that gets even deeper into the workings, but Gordon Gekko is an iconic character. Secrets of My Success, where Michael J. Fox plays Brantley Gilbert, who works his way up from the mailroom to the head of the company. The Company Man, for the cast it has, it was Affleck, Chris Cooper. Like, it had a banger of a cast. And
I think that was on the movie marketing at the time.
It's
on the poster.
It's one of those that it was a good movie, but for some reason never seemed to catch on and seems to have been forgotten. And then as we were talking, when you were mentioning Bloodsucking Bastards, your lead up, I thought you were getting to this movie I stumbled across it on Netflix called Not Safe for Work. Chris Marquette, I think, witnesses a murder after hours at the office, and it's basically him in the office building trying to survive. So it's kind of like your survival story in there. Visioneers popped into my head after that Zach Galifianakis one where he's trying not to blow up. But that's a lot more than work. And then just randomly, we don't really talk a ton of TV shows on here, but just recently, Amazon released a show called Patriot that does take place in an office a lot. And it's one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life. Like, if you haven't watched Patriot on Amazon, watch it. But yeah, that's my also-rans. Next week, we'll take our office into outer space as we talk about Ridley Scott's The Martian, starring Matt Damon. Because,
get your ass to Mars.
Yeah. Life comes out with Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds and Rebecca Hall, I think.
Rebecca Ferguson?
Is it Ferguson or Hall?
I think it's Ferguson.
Okay. I'll tell you, I can live with that.
Is there any way to find out for sure?
As I have three IMDb pages open. Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah.
Rebecca Ferguson, Ryan Reynolds, and Jake Gyllenhaal.
And a Martian.
Yeah, there's so many space movies that we could have done. We could have done any spaceship or alien movie, but they are finding life on Mars. So Matt Damon lived on Mars for a little bit, so we thought we'll do that. So that's next week. We'll visit The Martian with Matt Damon. And until then,
keep it up.